Well, it is a special being here, and as it was said earlier, we have a history with many of you here at this church, and history goes all the way back to John Dick when he was here pastoring, and I could go down the line and list all the pastors you've had and the connection that I've had with each one of them in particular, and it's a very special time. So I'm honored to be here. I'm happy that Jason asked me to be here. Greetings from ABC, Ohio. I'm on staff at the state level in my retired, my wife loves this, I'm retired, and still get around doing a lot of pastoral things, especially during the summer, filling in for pastors when they're on vacation, and I enjoy this because it helps me stay in touch with special pastors. One such, Dave Hansen. Dearly love Dave and have known him for a long time. But all of you, and the Singspirations, some of you remember the Singspirations our churches were involved in on the west side of Cincinnati, and all the fun we had singing and sometimes simply making a joyful noise unto the Lord as we went from church to church. We rotated, and I think it was Wyoming Baptist Church and Emmanuel Baptist Church, and eventually Emmanuel Lakewood Baptist Church, and Lincoln Park, and which is used to be part of that, and then Pleasant Run, which is now New Hope. Did I leave any of them out? And Heritage, Price Hill, which is now Heritage Community Church. So we had a lot of fun doing that. But I do indeed enjoy doing this kind of a thing, and just sharing God's word. Brenda, I appreciate, where are you, Brenda? There you are. Your reading of the scripture, and I could tell that it touched you in a special way, and I can relate to that because quite often I find myself, whenever I read any passage of scripture, there's always a connection with my spirit, God's spirit within, and it does stir up emotions, sometimes joy, sometimes maybe some sadness because of different experiences, and sometimes even conviction and things that just kind of touch us where we need to be touched in our lives. And God is so good at doing that. And I want to share with you, I realize that I am able to, Jason said I could preach until 2 this afternoon. Is that right? Okay, all right. I thought it was, tongue in cheek there. I St. Clair Baptist, where I preach occasionally when their pastor's out of town, I had asked him one time, how long do I go in my sermon? Do I have a limit? And he said, well, you can preach as long as you want to, but the Holy Spirit leaves at noon. So maybe that's what we're dealing with here in this. I have so many favorite passages of Scripture. And Kathy sometimes teases me with that, because I'll say, oh, this is my favorite passage of Scripture. And then the Sunday prior to that, I said the same thing. That was my favorite passage of Scripture. But this one in particular is one of my favorites. It's up there in the top 5. And it is loaded with all kinds of things that help us understand our walk with the Lord. So as I share this, I'm going to do some of it expository, just kind of going through it a little bit and touching on what I think are very important things. There's probably about 20 different sermons, right, Dave, you get out of this passage of Scripture. It is just that, it's that full of content and things that relate to us. So as I share this, as I believe the Holy Spirit speaks through me in a way that He can only do, I hope that as you're sitting there, you have already asked God to show you something special today that you can leave with in your Christian walk and find the application of it to your everyday walk. I believe this is why we come to church. This is why we have Sunday school. We have Bible study. We look at the Scripture. We read it. And then the Holy Spirit inside of us brings certain things to our attention, things that we need to hear, and maybe some things we don't want to hear. But He brings these things to life within us. And then it's our responsibility to do something with it. It's not just coming to church and hearing a message and then walking away and say, that was a good sermon, or that was a good message, a good Bible study. There must always be, I believe, an application of what we heard. So in a sense today, we are all blessed by being in the same room at the same time, hearing the same words of Scripture, and having an opportunity that God is giving to us to grow together, maybe in a certain level of our Christian walk. Fantastic thing. That's why I get so excited whenever I open up God's Word, just for my own personal experiences. One thing I love about our retirement time together, Kathy and I, first thing we do in the morning after our dog wakes us up at 8 o'clock every single morning, I don't know what's wrong with that dog, okay? 8 o'clock, he starts licking our hands, licking our ears, and it's time for him to go out for his little walk, and then he won't go back to bed. And you think in your retired life, you'd be able to just kind of relax a little while, and we do, but we end up being able to go downstairs, which while she was teaching school, she's a retired school teacher, and I was pastoring, the time that we were able to find together wasn't always convenient and wasn't always easy to find. But now in our retired years, we're able to go and sit together in the living room in our recliners and have our devotions together and talk and share. And it is a wonderful experience, and just gets me to help know her a little bit better and her know me a little bit better as we kind of talk things out and discuss things. So when I read Scripture, it's personal to me. It means something to me, and it's exciting to have that. So I hope you will feel some kind of spiritual excitement this morning. I know we're not Pentecostal, but there's nothing wrong with that, okay? But be excited as you're sitting there. God speaks to you. It's okay to say amen. It won't bother me one little bit, okay? But let God know that you're listening to him and hearing what he has to say. This passage of Scripture was a prayer of Jesus. And it's a very, very special prayer. He's not talking about himself. In a short while, Jesus is going to be arrested. And he's going to be taken into that experience of the court system. And he's going to be ridiculed. He's going to be mocked and beaten beyond recognition. And then he's going to have to carry his own cross to the hill of Calvary and there be nailed to that cross and die a horrible, horrible death on that cross so that we might have a way to be saved from our sins. And then eventually in 3 days, he's raised from the dead and now seated at the right hand of the Father. So before this happens, and I try to think in a human perspective, what would be on my mind if I knew what was down the road? Would I be able to have a prayer like this and pray for somebody else? Possibly, I'd be very concerned about my own personal things. And Lord, help me, give me strength, and take care of my family, take care of my loved ones, and all this, that, and the other. But Jesus gives us one of the most beautiful prayers I have ever heard or read in my life. It's not about him. It's about others. It's about his disciples. It's about people who come to know him, who will come to know him. We're actually included in this passage of Scripture. So see this when we're reading this. You're in here. You could put your name in this passage of Scripture, and there will be nothing wrong with that. He's talking, he's praying about you and praying about me at this time. It gives a lot of things. It reveals a lot about who God is, his character, his thoughts, and his love in particular, and his power, who he is, and all this, that, and the other. John Knox, back in the 1500s, John Knox was a Scottish theologian, minister. He was actually involved in the Scottish Reformation back in the 1500s, and he was a dynamic guy. He was actually the founder of the Presbyterian Church in Scotland. He was a very devoted Christian. And on his deathbed, around 1575, 76, somewhere in that period of time, on his deathbed, he called his wife in, and he wanted her to read this passage of Scripture to him in particular. And he said, as she was reading that, when she had finished that, his thought was, and it came out verbally, his thought was, I cast my very first anchor on this passage of Scripture. It's what he wanted to hear and needed to hear before he passed on into his relationship eternally with Christ and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit before he went into heaven. And so it was a very, very special thing. So see that as we go here. So it starts out here, okay? Now listen, follow along here because here's what happens. Jesus says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son that your Son may glorify you. See, here again, you see that's not about him, but his whole idea is to glorify the Father. Whatever he did, it was to promote who the Father was. And that is exactly our responsibility today in this world. When we serve him, when we talk about him, when we do things in the church setting, when we're in the neighborhood, when we're on the job, when we're in school, whatever it might be, our life's purpose as a child of God is to always bring glory to the Father. How does that work for you? Does your life glorify God in all that you do, in all that you say, in all that you are? See, that's the pinnacle, I believe, of who we are as God's children, to glorify the Father. And so Jesus, he states that right at the very beginning. You granted him authority over all people that he might give life, eternal life, to all those you have given him. Now, that's interesting to me. Anybody ever have a self-worth problem? Think you're not doing too well? You just don't kind of feel down, you're not important, and nobody... I don't know how many times I thought, nobody loves me. You know, we all have self-worth problems, don't we, Andrew? And this is a very, very special thing that he says, he reminds us that as far as God is concerned, as far as Jesus is concerned, every one of you sitting in this room right now, you are an amazing gift to Jesus. You're a gift to God. Now, to me, as I there you go. Who did that? Woohoo! That's right. And that should be the thought pattern there. I'm a gift to God. What, me? All the warts I have, all the problems I have been involved in, all the things I could be that could have been right and weren't right. God considers me a gift to him. Jesus considered his disciples a gift that God gave him. God considers you right now a very, very special gift to him. Wow. Why? What's that? I want to go, poof. You know, it's just that kind of an experience. It's just that kind of a thing. So, and he goes on here, says, and this is thought here, this is he's praying about you and praying about me. Now, this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. And now he goes into a little deeper thoughts here about us. And one of the things that always impresses me and challenges me the most in my Christian walk is this idea that God wants to develop a oneness in my life with him. Man, there's times I have trouble being one with my feet, you know? I have trouble being one with what's around me, but the idea that here God wants us as his children to have a oneness, and that's a very, to me, that is a very intimate thought that God wants me and God wants you as his child to have a oneness with him, to know his thoughts, to know his direction, to know his will for your life, to have an understanding of how much he loves you, have an understanding of how much power he has to give us what we need whenever we need it. This oneness is totally amazing to me. And so Jesus begins to talk about this in this next section here. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, but here again, you gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I have given them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believe that you sent me. And here it is. I pray for them. He wasn't praying about himself, what his future was going to look like physically, earthly wise. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world. This is one time he's more concerned about his children. He's more concerned about his followers, his believers who were attached to him. I'm not praying for the world, even though we know he so loved the world. We know that in John 3:16. But right now he's focused. He's intently focused on his children. I'm concerned and praying for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. You know, how many of you in the last few years have wanted to say, Lord, please take me home now. Get me out of this mess, whatever it might be, political, financial. It'd be nice if the Lord would come before the next billing section, you know, next billing time would come, or our health problems we have. Lord, I don't want to go through that. Take me home now so I won't have to experience that. But we're still in the world, and we have to deal with things in this world. That is reality. And so he says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them. There again, that's beautiful, that Jesus is praying for God's protection on you and me. And knowing who Jesus is, knowing who God is, this prayer is answered all the time for you and me. He is protecting us even when we are not aware of him protecting us. And so his prayer is answered constantly in our lives. And so I'm praying for them. And so protect them in power, the power above your name, the name you gave me, so that they, here it is, so that they may be one as we are one. And there again, I struggle to understand that, how that could happen. I can understand it, but it's hard for me to understand how that could possibly happen, that we could be actually one with God as Jesus is one with God. Jesus never asks for something or challenges us to be something or to do something that we cannot accomplish in his power. That's the key. That's the ticket, okay? When God says something like this, it means that it's attainable. We can be one with the Father, just as Jesus is one with the Father, even though we think of that in our human limitations, our human way of understanding things, which is going to be faulty. We have to understand what God says, what Jesus says, in his thought pattern, have a God vision. That's what it all amounts to. Understanding things on his basis, on his foundation of who he is. That's how I can understand this and say, well, if you're saying that can happen, then evidently it can happen. I need to be looking for that and working with you on that so that can happen. Now we'll go on, hold that thought. We'll come back to it. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None have been lost except the one doomed to destruction so the scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. What kind of joy was that? I think Hebrews 12:2 talks about this, where for the joy of the cross, Jesus was obedient and he fulfilled what God the Father asked him to fulfill on this earth for you and me on that cross. How Jesus could have an ability to have joy in his life, facing that and experiencing that, is way beyond my earthly understanding. And yet, he had joy for the joy of the cross. Wow. And so he's praying that that kind of joy, that same type of joy, could be in you and me, so that when we have difficult situations in our lives, we struggle with health issues or financial issues or church struggles, you know, whatever it might be in this world, that inside of us, even though the experiences might be daunting and troublesome and discouraging, deep inside of us, because we know who we are in Christ, we know who we belong to, we know who we are gifted to, we know who has the power. By knowing all of that, that he's in control, there can be, in the midst of the most difficult struggles in our lives, there can be a joy right in here. It doesn't always mean we go around with jumping up and down and happy and Pollyanna all the time, but in Christ, Christians are to be different. We're to have that kind of a joy deep within us. I love this. Are you feeling? I got goosebumps, all right? And I'm a little warm, okay? But I've got goosebumps. So we go on here, and as he continues, I'm coming to you now, so they may be full of your measure of joy with them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. See, we're different than people in this world. We belong to God's kingdom. We live here, but now we're of a different, we have our citizenship is somewhere else. And so we need to live like that kind of a citizen and not like this kind of a citizen. Does that make sense? Right? And that's a challenge, and it's hard to do, but yet that's what God says we can do and should be, so we can do it. What's that show, Kathy, that Bob the Builder? Remember Bob the, you met, I love Bob. Yes, I loved him. You know, we can do this. Yes, we can. You know? And that's kind of what goes on here. You know, we can do this. Yes, we can. And so as he says here, sanctify them by the truth. Verse 17, your word is truth. See, it's through God's word we understand the truth. We can know what God wants. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone, and here's what I like. You're in this one right here, okay? My prayer is not for my disciples alone, or these people here with me. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Woo! You can come right up here and stand next to me if you want to, okay? That is a wonderful thing. That we have that. But he's talking about us, that all of them, here again, we're included, that all of them may be one with you, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you've sent me. Our oneness with him helps the world understand that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he is the one, the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6, no one comes to the Father except by him. As we develop this oneness with the Father, it helps proclaim that message, that thought, that truth, that Jesus is the only way. Amen? He is. And so, I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be, here it is, be one as we are one. I'm in them and you are me. And so that we might be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you've given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Whenever I read that passage of Scripture, I go back to John 14, that chapter where Jesus is telling his disciples, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you so that where I am, there you may be also. Now, if I try to understand that and think about that in a human setting, I'm going to really be confused. Have you ever had someone come to your house and visit you? Yes, you have, haven't you, Andrew? And after maybe a day, maybe even an hour or so, you're ready for them to And yet they stay maybe for a week or so, and you're having to go through all of that and everything else. And, you know, in the human realm, sometimes we have people we can't understand living with them for a few hours or a day, let alone a week or a month or a year, let alone eternity. But here's how God sees us, that He wants us to spend an eternity with Him in His house. Wow. He must really love us, right? He must really care about us. He must see us for what we are and not how we see ourselves. He sees us totally different. So when I read this, it just reinforces the idea that I am so special to Him that He wants me to be with Him where He is for eternity. And you know what that means? There's no end to that. There's no end. How amazing that is for us. You have a self-worth issue maybe going on right now. You know, you ought to think more about this and what you mean to God, and that'll help lift possibly you out of that thought pattern. Righteous Father, verse 25. Though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Dynamic passage of Scripture. Bringing it to a conclusion here. What does that mean to us? How can that happen? How can, as a child of God, I possibly be so united with God the Father that it can be considered a oneness? Well, as always, when there's a question to be asked and answered, you go to Scripture, because Scripture will give you the answer. And this is not a complete list of what we can do or should do. There's things we can add to it, and it's easy to chase rabbits on this kind of thing, and let your mind do that. That's okay. But there's things we can do that can develop this oneness that God wants to have with Him. And it's a discipline. These are actually points of discipline. And that's part of being a disciple. And that word, the content of that word is someone who's disciplined. And it means you have to work at it. God saves us by His amazing grace. It's a free gift, not of works, lest any man should boast. But once we're saved, He gives us this other verse, says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You know, we love, oh, God, please take care of that. I can't do that. He saves us. He gives us the equipment we need in His Holy Spirit and His power. But then it's up to us to pick those things up and to use them when we need them in our Christian walk with Him. So work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, I fear God, I respect Him, I don't want to make a mistake, I want to do it right, so I'm going to do everything in my power and God's power to do this and to work it out so that I can glorify God the Father, I can be obedient to Him, I can be a good reflection of Him in this world. So it's a discipline. And I believe that, and this is, not a complete list. I like Matthew 6:33, where we're challenged. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And there's more to that, but I just want to focus. If you want to have a oneness with God, it's important that together we seek Him first. That means don't seek Him as a second thought, or when you have time, or when it's convenient. You seek Him first. He's the priority. He's the one you go to right off the bat before you go to anybody else. That helps develop oneness in Christ. Matthew 22:37, and this is actually tied into Deuteronomy 6:5, where it says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul. And I'm telling you, that's hard to do in a world that has so many things that divide our love. And yet we're to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our strength as we work with Him and serve Him. That's part of developing oneness with Him. It can be done. It can be done. Yes, we can. And he goes on, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Now, you, some of these you probably even have memorized. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. See, that's part of it also. Trust in him with all your heart. Don't lean on what you think is right, on what you want to do, on how you think it should go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. That certainly helps us develop oneness with the Father, oneness with the Holy Spirit, oneness with Christ and everything else. And then Colossians 3, 1 and 3, 1 through 3, and 4, chapter 4 and verse 1. We're to set our minds on these things. Set your minds on things of the Lord. And that's a discipline. I have to do that. I'm distracted all the time. But I have to constantly be aware and set my mind. It's almost like when you wake up in the morning and you get out of bed and go in the bathroom, and I'll stop there, and you happen to look in the mirror and your first response is, woo! You know? You look in the mirror and you have that reaction to yourself. The first thing we probably ought to do in the morning, you see yourself in the mirror and say, well, Lord, you got a lot to work with today, buddy, you know? But I am seeking you first. And I'm wanting to do what you want me to do. You are the Lord of my life. Let's start this day the way it needs to be started and go with that. Set your mind on things above. And then I like this too, Colossians 4:1. Devote yourself. Devote yourself to think like prayer. Devote yourself to service. Devote yourself to witnessing. That word devote, we're all devoted to something. We all have something we're devoted to. And Satan is so good at breaking that devotion up and putting it in different compartments and weakening our devotion to God Almighty. But to be one with the Lord requires us to have a devotion to him, a love for him. And that devoted is a very, very strong, not just attraction, but a strong commitment. A strong yieldedness to him. It's all involved in that one word, devoted. How devoted are you to who God is and what he wants in your life? Oneness with God. It sounds like it's way out there. And the only way that's ever going to be accomplished is when we join him in heaven and are with him for an eternity. Now that's going to happen, yes. But right here in now is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. We learn these things now, and even now in this confusing, frustrating world that we live in, we can develop a oneness with God that rules the day, that carries the situation, that gives us victory in Jesus as we move on in this life. Think about that this week, because here's what's going to happen. We've had a lesson. How many of you ever hated tests in school? I hated tests. I saw no purpose to them whatsoever, okay? Especially pop quizzes. I really did not care for them at all. But I'm sorry, God, that I said that, okay? But you learn something. We learned something today. When we leave this building, that's the test if we heard what God said to us today. How we apply it to our lives. You walk out that door and God says, I have equipped you to do something, to be someone, to glorify me. Now take what you've learned today and go out there and find the application for your life. I believe when we go out in the world, it's God's way of giving us pop quizzes from time to time. What did you learn? How did you understand this? Did you really get this? You know, where are you right now? Life out there is God's way of giving us pop quizzes from time to time. Don't run from them. Be prepared for them. And develop the oneness that God wants us to have. Our lives. Thank you. How about if I have prayer with you first, okay? Let's do that, okay? Then you can have your quiet time, okay? Lord, what an awesome time we've had in your presence already today. Help us as we absorb these words, your words. Let us now find the application. You've given us the power to apply it. May we be one with you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.